We bless you, O God, our Father. God, we desire to go higher and to soar with you, that we may move with you, that we may see as you see, hear as you hear. Hallelujah. You all can be seated. Before we get into what I believe the Lord wants to talk about today, and this really kind of goes along with it. And Becca, I'm just going to ask you not to put these two scriptures up on the overhead, just these first two. Because if you have your Bible, I would like for you to see it in your Bible. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Thank you guys so much. Aren't these guys just doing a wonderful, wonderful job? Thank you. Thank you. May the blessing of God be on your life. Glory be to God. One of the things I feel extremely strong about, and I believe most of you do too, is the spiritual realm. And that we, as the people of God, one of the things that when I heard this word God spoken to me about eagles, I saw the vision of his body, and it's really only a remnant, that we're soaring like eagles with him, that had God's perspective, world view of what was going on. But one of the things he just kind of dropped into my heart is that we, and I'm just talking about all of us as children of God, for the most part, our feet are too tied to the earth. And I knew what he meant when he said that, is we think too lowly. We have worldly mindsets. We think like the world really thinks. Therefore, we act a lot like the world acts. We train our children a lot like the world trains our children. We do things. We even do church a lot like the world does church, business mindset, and so forth. But here in the, and it's the very first verse of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, and then the very first verse of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And as most of you know, chapter 12 goes into a teaching here on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the first verse says, "Now concerning spiritual brethren." That word gifts in your Bible ought to be italicized, which means that it was added by the translators. It's not in the original text. It's added there. Most all of your italicized words in your Bible, they're added by translators to help with understanding, but more specifically, he didn't say spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit said, now concerning spiritual or the spirit realm or the things of the spirit. This word is an interesting word because it was never used until Pentecost came. It's a word only used after Pentecost, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it's a word that means invisible power. So it wasn't just about specific gifts. I know we like to talk about those gifts a lot, and they're important, and we need to understand them. But here, what the Bible is telling us, what the Holy Spirit is telling us concerning spirit, the spiritual realm, not the earthly, not the worldly, not just the physical realm. Thank God we have the physical realm. But he wants us to understand the spiritual realm, how it functions and how it operates. We are first spirit. When we become born again, we get a brand new what? Body? No, we get a brand new spirit, so we can therefore function correctly in right relationship with God in the spirit realm. You don't believe me? And then he says, same verse, I do not want you to be unaware. Unaware of what? The spirit. The reality of the spirit realm. Go to chapter 14. First verse. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual. There again, you'll see the word gifts after the word spiritual. That's italicized. That again, that word was added by translators. If you read all of verse or all of chapter 12, even chapter 13, the great love chapter into chapter 14, yes, the topic there is talking a lot about gifts, but really what it's talking about is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through these things we call gifts. Specifically, he's talking about the spirit realm. And it doesn't just say, chapter 12 says, I don't want you to be unaware of this. I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to have an understanding. Those of you that have been born again, I've been saying this scripture for the last several weeks, a natural man, those who have not been born again, do not have a new spirit on the inside of them, cannot understand the things of the spirit because they're spiritually appraised. They are not equipped. Yes, they can read the Bible. Yes, they can hear messages, but they're not going to grasp spiritual things. We've got to be reborn. He even told Jesus, told Nicodemus, remember the conversation? He said, look, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And Nicodemus wasn't born again at the time. And he said, how can this be so? He's trying to figure out a spiritual thing. How can somebody go back into their mother's womb and be born again? Even a great learned man as Nicodemus, he could not comprehend spiritual truth until he was spiritually alive, which is the born-again process. Because a natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. I think so often we try to teach people that have never been born again things of the Spirit, and we wonder why they can't understand it, because they've never been born again. They've got to be born again, birth from above. That's what the word born again means. So we are spiritually alive, and then we can understand, we can begin to understand the things of the Spirit of God. So why? We can walk in them and live in them. So here's two verses, two different chapters, and chapter 14 says, earnestly desire the Spirit. Spiritual. Are we earnestly desiring that? If we're earnestly desiring that, we're going to put some effort. Because Jesus said too, we talk about this scripture all the time, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you know seek there means you're doing something? You're not just praying. You are actively engaged in seeking for something. You ever lost something of value to you? Anybody? Y'all awake? Huh? Coffee, please. Bring in the coffee. You ever lost something of value? I mean, so valuable to you, you would not quit until you found it? That you would do whatever, you'd turn over everything, you went through the whole house, and you went through it again, and then you went through it again. You took everything out of your vehicle, you did everything you could, you had people helping, you called Aunt Jemima, oh, that's syrup, isn't it? You called whoever to come and help you, right? I mean, do we even have half of that enthusiasm, of that effort to seek first the kingdom? Guys, this isn't going to drop in our lap. It isn't going to drop in our lap. We're not going to sit around and pray for it. Matter of fact, I'm just going to turn, while I'm talking, if you turn to Malachi. Now, those of you that don't like money messages, this is not a message on tithing. I know a lot of times we go right to Malachi to hammer some of the tithing thing out. But I am going to read that passage because there's something in this passage that I think that's spiritual, that spirit, part of the spirit realm that we need to understand. Don't let me forget. I'm going to have you do the ancient path thing. And verse 8 of chapter 3 in Malachi. I say that so you can help remind me, because sometimes I get to go on. You know how it goes. I forget. Will a man rob God? Well, what do you think? Can you answer that question? Oh, you will? Could? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse because you're robbing me. I'll just kind of let that settle. This book, Malachi, is the last prophetic book of the Old Covenant. It's really an intertestamental book. It was written 400 years, at least 400 years after any of the other books of the Old Covenant, and just before the Gospels began to be penned. Malachi, Malachi's prophesying, God's speaking. He's not talking to the whole earth. He's not talking to the Gentile nations. Who's he talking to? What was that? He's talking to the Jews. Who are the Jews? God's people. God's chosen nation. See, God so desired to have a nation on the face of this planet that so emulated walking in the kingdom of God, having the blessing and favor of God on them, that all of the nations would want what they've got. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. And God says, look, I'm talking to my people. These are my sons and daughters, not the Gentile nations. My sons and daughters, you're robbing me. How are we robbing you? In tithes and in offerings. With your finances, you are actually robbing me. And because of that, you have put a curse on yourself. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is a good tithe and offering message, but that's not really my point today. Then he says in verse 10, bring the whole tithe. I like God. I mean, he doesn't just bring the tithe. He said, no, all of it. Ananias and Sapphira tried to do the shortcut. Hello, New Testament, wasn't old. Drop dead in front of the God. You know, when the presence of God gets stronger and stronger and stronger, I believe one of the reasons, and I've mentioned this before for several years, that the manifest, tangible, tasteable, feelable of presence of God is not manifest in our presence very often or much or just fragments, is for our mercy. Because see, no flesh, the Bible says, can stand in the presence of God. It's a holy place. I mean, in the presence of God. We have such a lackadaisical attitude in the body. We think we can just kind of do what we want, live how we want, do this, and expect the blessing on God. And God, even from this verse, he's saying, look, just right here, because you're not walking in the purposes and the promises of God, you're not walking according to kingdom values with your finances, you've got a curse on your life. I know a lot of people think, well, tithes and offerings was under the law. It was before the law, it was under the law, and it was after the law. Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, you tithe mint, dill, and cumin. These things you should have been doing, but not neglecting the weightier measures of the law. justice, faithfulness, righteousness. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And then he says, test me now in this. And most of you know this, that nowhere in Scripture except this one does God say, test me. Put me to the test. If I will not open for you, this is what I want you to get in your spirit today before you leave. If I will not open for you, what? The windows, everybody knows what a window is. Sometimes we call it a portal, a window of heaven. And pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And that doesn't, it doesn't stop there, and we're going to look at the more. But I'm going to stop here for a second. This is God speaking, right? He said, if you will do this. He didn't say if you'll pray about it. See, we've been talking about that. We are kind of stuck in this, let's just pray about it. I've been praying for it. I've been praying, I've been decreeing, I've been legislating, I've been praying, I've been asking God to do this. No, he doesn't say anywhere right here, pray about this. What am I saying? Your action and your response, yes, we can call it obedient response, will produce something in the heavenlies that no man can do. Did we talk about this last week? Just a little differently? We get this stuck, oh, I'm just going to pray, I'm just going to pray. No, when we hear God, how about let's not look for things outside of, you know, new things. How about if we just respond to the kingdom way of living, which really giving tithes and offerings was the way of the kingdom. Do you know way less than 20% of the church gives finances? We're not even talking about 10% because the tithe means 10%. Do you know today, brand new statistic, 6% of all Christians have a biblical worldview? Shouldn't really surprise us. 6%. Which means They don't have an understanding of the spiritual realm context of biblical kingdom values and applying that to their life and living it out. If we want to see the kingdom of God come and manifest here in our particular congregation, the congregations of independence in this city, it's going to take more than just praying about it. The action of applying the principle. See, Jesus walked with an open heaven everywhere he went. Because he lived, walked, talked, breathed everything about kingdom, kingdom values. He heard the Lord's voice and he responded to what God says. We are so trained by this world. I just feel like it's like this. Well, I would like to do this and I would desire to do it like this. And we have so confused our desire and our emotions with the voice of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, where they're so blended together. And I believe that's at least one of the reasons why we have so much fragmentation in the body of Christ. You try to get any group of people together in unity, and it's like, well, I feel like I ought to do this, and why I feel like God's saying this. God's not saying 1,400 different things. Unity is one of the most fragile things that can happen in the body of Christ. It's the one thing that Jesus prayed specifically for that hadn't been answered yet. And he's laid it all out. How about we attain to the unity in Ephesians of Christ's likeness? To a mature man. What does that mean? That we're becoming more and more like Christ in character. That we're applying kingdom values to our life. That we're imparting them to our children, the next generation. But because we're so worldly, we're imparting more worldliness to the next generation. It just comes natural for me to be hard. Just comes naturally. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house and test me now in this, says the Lord. Now here's, again, I want to go over this. If I will not open for you a window, what is this, this right here, what I just said, open for you a window in the heaven. Number one, there's a heaven. Number two, there's windows. Number three, they aren't all open. Because if he has to open one, that means it's closed. That means if we're not walking in the blessing of God and of kingdom, the window's closed over us. Window's closed. And what God says is, don't keep praying about it. Oh God, open up a window for me. Oh God, how about you start doing what I've told you to do? How about being obedient? Because that's what opens up the window. And when God opens up a window, look, he didn't just say, I'm going to just meet your needs and just to the last penny. Let's keep reading. If I will not open for you the window, oh, I missed something. It's plural. It isn't one. I'm going to open them all. How do we miss so many things? Open for you the windows of heaven. I will pour out for you a blessing until it just barely meets your need. That's not in the most holy righteous version right here. Until it overflows. I've been out of town this last week and Renee had been telling me we've gotten some of these rainstorms. I mean, it's been dry for a while, right? And all of a sudden, what happened? We can say a window of heaven was opened. Renee told me, she goes, you ought to see your pool. You're going to have to let water out. There's so much water. It's way over the skimmer. It's almost to the top. That's just a little sign. You can be dry, 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 and it just takes a moment. And the window of heaven can be poured, opened up to you, and God's blessing can be over, can over, not just so you can enjoy it yourself, but that you can also share your blessing with others, and that others, look, we are in a recession, and we haven't seen anything bad yet. You know, let's just be honest about it. It's rough for people, and I don't want to minimize that, but it ain't that bad. Like my English, it ain't that bad. It's not near as bad as it can be, or as it could be, or it was in the great. We're not standing in soup lines. But how awesome it would be that during down times that God's people would be walking in such blessing, not just for themselves, not to just say, hey, look at us. No, that we can, that it can be used as a tool to gather more into the harvest. God's not a respecter of persons. He wants you to have this too. He wants you to live like this too. Why do so many people, most, I know you can break, you can tear my example that I'm going to give up, my illustration to bits, but why do most, so many people that come to this nation or desire to come to this nation, why do they want to come here? Freedom. Prosperity. Anything else? Opportunity. Opportunity. Freedom to obtain a way of life that they cannot have where they are now. See, Jesus said, I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. In John 10:10, he says, I've come to give you what? Life, and that life more abundant than what? You're experiencing. And so many people that are not citizens of this country that want to come here to cross our borders, they will do almost anything to get here. They will put their life at risk, their family's life at risk, their life, or possible imprisonment, or getting kicked out, or whatever it might be, they will do whatever it takes to get here, some of them. and too many of them, really. And we have something so much better, endless resources, and we take it for granted and think it's just going to fall on us when Jesus says, you're going to have to seek this. You are going to have to put some effort here. It's gotten real quiet now. He didn't say, just pray and I'll open up the windows. He says, no, start living like I've told you to live. Because see, and I wrestle with this, trying to illustrate this. But if I live in another country, a third world nation, where there's so much oppression and corruption, and where it keeps people down, and there is no opportunity, there's no way to get up, there's no way to get out, there's no way to really do, except for crime. And I see from a distance another nation where there's freedom, where there's opportunity, where all men are created equal. Well, I can actually start a business. Where I can possibly someday own my own piece of property, my own home. No wonder some people do whatever it takes to get there for freedom, for opportunity, to obtain what? The way of life that they've only dreamed about so far. There is a place, and it's called the kingdom of God, where all of the resources of heaven, all of the provision of heaven is supplied there. When we're born again, it says that God transfers us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's a spiritual movement in the spiritual realm. But for me, for you to appropriate the provisions and the blessing and the protection and everything that goes along with all of life, the life Jesus came to give us, that abundant life that is in the kingdom, it does require something. Just like somebody else coming from this nation, they've got to play by the rules. See, we look at things so negatively so often, like sin. We look at it as we don't get to do this. God just is keeping us from that, and He says no. But when God says, I've got a way of life for you, because He's the one that's created us, He knows what's best for us, just like we wouldn't just, you know, drink battery acid because we just think it might be good. We wouldn't eat gravel. We wouldn't go out to the parking lot and just start eating gravel. Oh, this will be okay. Why? Because our bodies are created to function a certain way, and we can't just put water in our gas tanks and expect to make it home. We can't just keep throwing trash down our rocks and just, you know, toxins and eating rat poison and think, oh, it's going to be okay. There's order and there's law in the universe. And it's the same thing within the kingdom. And God just says, look, if you'll get over here and you just start functioning, ordering your life the way I've got it laid out for you, you will experience, John 10:10, the abundant life. It's already here. It's already waiting for you. All you've got to do is start ordering your life according to it. But you've got a choice now that you're a son or daughter. You can continue ordering your life according to the world, but look what happens. You're going to also suffer the consequences of that, and there will be a curse. It's there. There's a curse over here. There's blessing over here. When you become a Christian, you have options. Before you're a Christian, you have no option. You're under the curse. Now, praise God, it's not like horrible, horrible. He reigns on the just and the unjust. But there's blessing here. If we will just order our lives according to the kingdom, it's already there. He didn't say, look, when you get over here, start praying for it. No, just order your lives and it happens. We study more. We'll go to school, we'll go to college, and we'll study more in our trade, in our career, than we do seeking and pursuing the kingdom. And we wonder, We wonder why it hasn't dropped out. And people's faith are so low. I wonder why I don't have the provisions of the kingdom. I hear Christians saying this all the time. I guess I'm just going to have to live with this. Whatever it might be, a disease, sickness, poverty, depression. I've heard this for years. Because the faith level is so low. We continue to order our lives according to the world system, and the blessing isn't over here, it's the curse is over here, and we keep eating from the curse, and we've not been over here ordering our lives. And look, it's like a salmon going upstream, man. It's gonna be, you're gonna have to make some radical adjustments sometimes. You're gonna have to earnestly desire the Spirit. That's where we're going, by the way. That's the realm that we're going to. Is this making sense to you? Glory be to God. Well, many of you are aware of the Ancient Paths seminars, and there's one coming to our area at the end of September. And Diane, would you come? She's going to share a little bit about the Ancient Paths seminar. And one of the things that, and also I kind of sensed just to throw this in right in the middle of this, is because of what this seminar helps with, because of inner hurts, inner wounds, some generational things that many people have continued to fight with. You know, when I first got born again, I was definitely under the illusion that as soon as I got born again, man, I had everything, I'm fine, I'm completely healed, I'm totally restored, everything. And it didn't take too long to figure that I still had patterns of thinking and hurts and different things that popped up in my life that I didn't even realize were there, that were continuing to have influence on decisions and thoughts and different things that I've made. And if we still are, it's like, you know, one leg or one arm, we're kind of limping through this Christian life kind of thing, and we're talking about the kingdom. It's very difficult to cross over into that realm when we're carrying so much baggage, hurts and wounds, things that have been done to us, things that we've done, whatever it might be. And Diane's going to share about this a little bit, but to help people, and I'm so glad it's in our area, that we can deal with these things so we can really go unhindered.
I'm one of those people that was probably, I must have had a lot of wounding, because the first two or three times that I went to Company of Women events, I'd have people come up to me and go, "You should go to Ancient Paths." People I didn't know. And it really has altered my life. Just to give you a little overview of what it's about. One of the things Joe has preached about over the years is how Satan loves to attack our identity. And he will use everything and anything that he can, even the people closest to us. And basically, Ancient Paths is an educational seminar with a biblical view from what honor and family and relationships really are all about. And through the educational seminars, it reveals things in your heart that maybe you need to deal with, and it reveals things that maybe you want to change. And it's really a gentle seminar. Nobody's going to make you talk about anything you don't want to talk about or do anything, but it's all done from a spirit-based, prayer-based healing. I can't give you any one specific thing, because I've been three times. So it's been a series of events for me. Several things that have happened because of it. I can now look at my father in a completely different light, and I don't view that man the same way as I used to. That's one of the major things. And, you know, even the honor. The thing about honor is so huge in our society and so lacking, and the things that it teaches about honor are so huge. And honestly, I really wish I would have gone when my kids were little, because it really would have changed how I treated them and how I parented. And I think since I've gone, I hear the voice more clearly of the Lord, and I can enter in spiritually, and things that hindered me before don't hinder me now. Not that I've arrived, but that it was a huge, huge step for me. So I would encourage anybody who even has an inkling, maybe I should go, to go ahead and go. Because I know of several people that have said, "Well, I didn't think I needed to go, but I went." And man, that really changed everything. And so I would encourage that. I'm just going to give you a couple of details, and then Kim and Jay, if you have anything, a short testimony you'd like to share.
Yeah.
We talked about that. So it is September 29th to October 1st. It's in Overland Park. I don't have the address in front of me, but it is in the bulletin. There's also these little flyers from Ancient Paths out in the foyer. Early registration is by September 23rd. If you register early, it's $45 a person or $85 for a couple. After the 23rd, it's $55 a person or $99 for a married couple. It's Thursday evening, so most of you would be able to do that. It's after work, 6:30 to 10. Friday evening from 6:30 to 10:30. And it's their times on Saturday are a little different than in the brochure. The times in the bulletin are correct. It's Saturday, 1 p.m. in the afternoon to 10 p.m. at night. So.
Good.
Let's see. We went twice. Jay and I went twice. We've gone together both times. We've done Ancient Paths 1 and 2. For me, the second time was where I had our... the first time was sweet and intimate for me, and it was great for our marriage and great for a beginning of an opening of a door in our relationship. But individually and together, it impacted me. But in Ancient Paths 2, Mom... I'm just kind of real, okay? I'm just going to be real with you. I have my past is, I always saw myself through my past and my sin because my past is really bad. My mother's mother was a prostitute, so we're talking 100 years ago. Honestly, she's 90. She'd be 90. She'd be 100 if she was alive. But she was a prostitute. It just ran in my family, and not even realizing it, there was just a curse. There was illegitimate children back 100 years ago, illegitimacy, abandonment, prostitution. There was all kinds of things. And when I got born again, I just had such a love encounter with Jesus because I had such a self-hate for myself. I could only see myself through what I had done to my children, to my family, and to all the people that I had hurt. I had had a dream about 6 months before we had went about a curse on my family, upon my life that was hindering me. And something for Jalel and I in our marriage, I never felt protected by my husband. We've been married 21 years. I just never had that heart connection that he had my well-being at heart. I'm just being real, guys, okay? I hope if I say too much, shut me up, okay? Am I saying too much?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. There's things in our lives that we don't even realize are there that influence the way we respond, the way we think, the way we see things. And... So I'd had a dream, and I'm not going to share my dream, but it also had my grandchild in the dream. And in my dream, I knew that that there was something in the foundation of my family, going back to my ancestors, that had followed because this thing was very old and ancient in my dream. And I didn't really know what it was, and so I just really prayed about it. I had submitted it to Regina even and to Renee, and I never had a clarity. And when we went to Ancient Paths, the first day I was like, I really didn't need to come. The second day I'm like, okay, I'm tortured. I'm ready to go home. And I mean, I really was. I'm just being open. It's a great ministry. And so the Lord just spoke to my heart. And we were very last to become to go into ministry with. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, I want to deal with this thing. And if you go home and you don't let me, you're going to really regret it. And he had spoke so audibly, I knew. I didn't know what it was exactly he wanted to deal with, but he wanted to deal with something. And I knew it was the root of my dream. And I'm sharing this with you so you'll know. There are things in our lives that we don't even know are there. Mm-hmm. I am 51 years old. I had no clue this thing was in my life. But I knew that there was a barrier that I could not connect. I'm going to tell you the way it was. I didn't feel married to my husband. We were together. We were a couple. We're a family. I didn't feel that intimate, loving protection that people talk about in a marriage. I never saw that modeled before me. I didn't even have a clue what it looked like. When we went in for ministry, and the Holy Spirit, of course, showed up. He's amazing. He's an amazing, amazing Father. Praise God that He causes us to triumph when we don't know we need to triumph, you know? There had been a barrier in our marriage. And, you know, when the Lord brought up this dream, I just shared about a dream, and the Lord revealed to these women what that root was. And the spirit of whoredom had been on my family for years. We're talking years, generations of generations of generations. There's more to that. I'm not going to go into that. But something happened in our marriage in that moment in time through ministry of the Holy Spirit of taking me off from that curse being broken off of our life and calling my husband out to be the strong man of my life and my home, that he became my husband in that moment as they broke that curse. From me being connected to that curse, I didn't know the curse was operating in my life, but it was, prevented me from allowing my husband from being my husband. I prevented that from him being that part of my life. It opened up an area of my heart that brought such healing. I didn't even realize. I wasn't even fully trusting the Lord with my whole heart. That there was a part of me that I had such a self-hate, and I had judged myself unrighteously, that I was not worthy to be loved because of my sin, because of my life, because of the people I had hurt. And the Lord took that and did so. You know, like the word says, how we can see the wind blow, we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, but I can't explain how he does it and what he did. But he broke that death off of me, and he broke that lie from the pit of hell off of me, however he chose to do it. And praise God, he brought our marriage into what it's called as a marriage. And I have been able to accept my husband's love, whatever way it is he chooses to give it. It's not control, manipulation, what I think how things should be or how I want things to be. It's what I can receive my husband. And I feel married to him. And she took, and I'm just sharing with you, and she brought him in as the strong man in my life of our home, to protect our home, to be a protector, to stand under the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be a covering over our lives. And for us, our marriage has never been the same. I feel like I just got married to him last year. That's how I feel in my heart. Everything new that is just new. I see him differently. I love him differently. I love being married to him. When before I always felt like everything was so bad because I couldn't just love him, you know? And so God took that, and that was in number two for us. So number one was awesome for Jay, and I know number two was too. So praise God, I could talk. Thank you.
Well, how can I follow up? I do not want to promote ancient path itself. It is based on the Word of God, so I want to promote Jesus, who drives and empowers this program by Craig Hill. Craig Hill is a pastor out of Colorado, and his wife, they're really anointed in writing this program. And they give you a thick book, about 130-page thick book. But if I may hear...
Help yourself.
You show up, they pray, and they charge you $45, which is not nearly covers the food that you eat, which you eat like a pig over there, and I do. And then they give you 45 to 50 minutes of CD, and they give you this book and a number two pencil, and they say, here you go. You paid for the tuition, right? Well, show up. And then after 50 minutes, this guy sits right here and looks you in the face. He said, you don't mind me getting too close to you, do you? Like you have a choice, right? If I may, Richard, can you come, please? Sit over here. Richard is me, right? Or somebody who paid for this thing. And he looks at you, and there's a circle of Richards and Richarettes. And then he comes out, and he said, let's talk and minister. This is part of the program. Am I right?
Yeah.
And he said, what brings you home today, Richard? And I did this the first time. It was not his breath or anything. It's just like, the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you whether you like it or not. Thank you. And that goes on for every lady and every gentleman who goes over there. Very personal. And those people are trained. They don't just put somebody who is really off the street or
Joe Blow off the street.
Some Jay Blow. Zuka experienced that. Karen did, and everybody who went, I'm not sure who did. What really changed people, and changed people, I want to talk about myself here, is the Lord shows up because you want change. And because you signed up for this, and because you wanted to be ministered to, God searches the heart and deals with those heart issues. Again, I said, this is based on the Word of God. And what my heart's desire was is to know exactly what's lacking. The Word of God was given to us, and it's based on the Word of God. This program was based on the Word of God, obviously. And promotes the blessings. And you did not know exactly the definitions of blessings. So many times you read the word blessing in the word until I was introduced to it in such a fashion that you have been stolen of these blessings because of your ancient paths. Ancient paths of all your old ways. And the word God said, when you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And the proverb, I believe it's 3:5, just trust in the Lord with all your ways. Right? Okay. I had to make a decision the very first time and the second time that I'm going to have to trust the Lord to really heal my heart of the things of my ancient paths. Little did I know that my family had, because I'm an ex-Muslim, I guess, and ex-believer, I should say, the Lord dealt with me of how I was treated by my father, but it's not how God looks at me. And he showed me a picture like I truly was loved by him, not the way my earthly father sees me and dealt with me, but how the true Father in heaven sees me. And Diane, you said it right. I wish I've gone to this thing when our children were. We didn't know any better. You know, we did not hear about it. But you know what? God's mercy and His grace empowers us to do things better, empowered by His holy. You mentioned something about the flesh that cannot stand in the presence of His glory. They pinged you and they pray for you right there and then, said, we are not going to go past this until we deal with this. It's not they, it's the Lord Himself. Because He reveals those things to them and say, okay, we're face to face, let's talk about these things. He is our healer, and Craig Hill really does use that under anointing, and it's the best weekend you'll ever spend with the Lord, with people you do not know, that you're probably not going to see Him anymore, and you just open up. You just open up to the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I have been freed from so many things that we could stand over here and talk a whole lot, but it is His grace. It is by His grace that He really loves us so much that He gave us his son. But if we believe it, we would do it. Like Pastor said, we have to move to get those things. We have to believe. If we do believe it, we do it. If we don't believe it, of course we're not going to do it. Amen.
That's good. Thank you. Yeah, so if anybody would like to go, we have more information out there. It's just a little over a month away, so it's coming up pretty quick. And you can get the application, make the phone call, whatever you need to do to sign up for that. I want to just finish with this scripture here in Malachi. Yes. Yeah. There's no mic in here.
When you were talking about the windows of heaven, what the Holy Spirit was showing me is, what is the purpose of a window? It allows light to come in and air, and it gives us a vision beyond where we are. And I thought of how we all need the light of God to come into our lives, and how we need that breath, that air, and then we need a vision. And then it also provides insulation from what is outside to come in, and so we also need that insulation. And so I thought how important it is that we have those windows.
That's good. Very good. Excellent. Okay, Malachi 3. We'll close with this. Beginning with verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. You know, when God says blessing, it's blessing. You know, somebody else may come to me and say, oh, I'm going to bless you, and it might be good and all that, but when God says that he's going to bless, you better believe it's going to be some awesome stuff. Verse 11, then, look what God says he will do. Not only will he pull that window open and pour out a blessing on you, but he goes, I will rebuke the devourer. He didn't even say, you do that. He said, I will do that for you. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy your bank account, your home finances, your health, your relationships, the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed. See, that's the country we are seeking. It's called the kingdom of heaven. We're not just calling ourselves Christians and going to church and living and looking just like everybody else and having all the same results as everybody else. But that we're serving a God that's alive, that we are orienting the foundation of our life being Christ Jesus, and that we are implementing all of the values and principles of the kingdom of God into our life. And that open heaven is over us, and the blessing of God is being poured out, and all of the nations looking around saying, I want that. That's what I want. Where are they getting that? I want to serve. Isn't that what the book of Acts was? See, genuine salvation led to genuine kingdom living, which resulted in genuine blessing and the favor of God on their lives. And they didn't have to go out and try to get so many people to come to church, and they didn't have to try to beg people to come to their events. They just lived life. And the Bible says, and God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. And in the natural course of their life going to work, they saw somebody sick, and God says, why don't you go raise them up? While they're sitting at their desk, they see somebody and they just got a little tickle in their heart. The Lord's just saying, I want to share something with you. And then I want you to go share it with them. And you just revealed secrets of their heart and their life, just like at the woman at the well, oh my God, and ran back to the city and the revival broke out because God was there. And God was in the course of life. Just being spiritually aware, spiritually sensitive. Why? See, if we're not ordering our lives according to kingdom values, we are spiritually dull. Hello? You can't even be spiritually sensitive if you're not ordering your lives according to kingdom values and principles. See, it's like the window's there. We're over here. We just need to get under it. I want to leave you with that illustration. Think on it. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Father. God, we thank you there are windows in heaven and that God, no one can open them but you. And God, you are wanting to open them. You are telling us, get under it. I'm going to open it. If we'll just order our lives, God. It's not for obedience' sake. It's because we love you and you love us, God. And love is our motivation, Lord God. Because we love you and we want to please you with our lives. Everything that we do. I just want to ask you just to make that commitment to the Lord. That you just want to be pleasing to him because he loves you so much. God, I pray now for those in this room, right within these four walls, that don't have that kind of love relationship with you. Holy Spirit, woo them. Draw them to you, O God.